Well, good evening. Welcome to the Insight Hour. I'm Dr. Len Horowitz.
And I'm Sherry Kane.
And where are we broadcasting from tonight, Sherry?
Honolulu, Hawaii.
Honolulu, Hawaii. And welcome to a new day on the East Coast. Happy new day to you guys. Wednesday, it is midnight, and we've got 9 o'clock Pacific, and it's here it is 6 o'clock. So we're going to have a Insight Hour broadcast tonight with a very, very wonderful person who has been a great support to yours truly and to Sherry and to Healthy World Store, and we're going to bring Justin Tharp on in a couple minutes. We're going to be talking about what really the average person on the street right now is talking about, the issues of today, and I think that you'll find this program very, very interesting with the analysis that Sherry brings to it, Justin brings to it, and yours truly also. We've also got to thank our sponsors. Sherry, why don't you share that?
We want to thank HealthyWorldStore.com for your amazing products that keep people healthy throughout the seasons. And in Hawaii, we don't have any season but one season. So, and I'm happy with that. Anyway, all the people out there that are coming down with the flu or getting threatened with the flu, well, you don't need to get vaccinated. We have remedies such as OxySilver. And you can go to OxySilver.com and learn all about how amazing it is. And how you can see great testimonials on there as well. We also have a great product called Liquid Dentist, which is really the alternative of having really bad teeth and having to go see a dentist who's just going to give you lots of pain and drugs.
Yeah, well, anyways, this is, you know, I used to be a dentist once a long time ago. I can tell you, here's the word from the inside. 15% of dentists are actually good guys. They're actually very competent. They're meticulous. They take their time. They typically will use rubber dams to protect you from swallowing mercury. And they'll suction. They'll use a lot of water so that you don't get mercury poisoning when they're taking out the old fillings.
And you're not into sadomasochism.
Right. That's, oh man, you had a bad dentist when you were young. I could tell. I could tell.
I had one that you'd hear his wife screaming from the second floor. Ah! Yeah. And I would say, what is that? He'd say, that's my wife. And then he'd come down with a fireman's outfit. And,
oh, my goodness.
And he'd come with a hose. And it was sort of a fetish for him.
That's weird.
I'm wondering what was going on with his wife upstairs and why he had this fireman fetish.
His name really, wasn't Dr. Payne, was it?
He probably like was burning her or something.
Oh,
and put the fireman outfit
that's
on.
That's horrible.
Or maybe that's what he really
wanted
actually, to do.
Actually, that's how I got my start in dentistry. Actually, I was a very successful dentist back in the late 70s, and then throughout the 80s, I had a wonderful holistic dental practice in Rockport, Massachusetts. Actually, I used to live in Rockport, used to commute to Gloucester, a little place called Magnolia, Massachusetts. It's on the North Shore. It's about an hour drive north of Boston on Gloucester Island. It was a delightful place, and I had a wonderful dental practice working full-time with an acupuncturist there. And we worked side by side for a decade. And we would see the basket cases that Tufts University School of Dental Medicine could not handle the head and neck pain patients. They would actually send them to yours truly. And I worked with them, and I worked with the acupuncturists and a team of alternative care providers. We had on staff a medical doctor and a chiropractor and a massage therapist and a nutritionist. And we did a wonderful job in actually sending people back to the university and school of dental medicine much better than they came to us, the condition that they went back in. And it was a really delightful practice. That's how I got my start. And actually, then I became involved in dental phobia. See, because my Harvard degree was in public health and behavioral science and media. So I developed the Overcoming Your Fear of the Dental program. It was an audio taped interactive training program.
I don't know, those long needles.
Yeah,
Novocaine really, I mean, gave me a lot of fear as a child.
Yeah,
coming at you. I mean, the needles just seem so long.
Well,
they seem to be good. They seem to be jabbing you for such a long time too, while they were sticking your gums with them. Was that just my imagination, or was that not normal?
Yeah, actually, I told you, 15% of dentists are good. About 85% of them are. I wouldn't consider that I would like myself to go to them, and I wouldn't recommend 85%. And there is techniques, and I used to enjoy using them, where you can make injections of Novocaine, Xylocaine, Carbocaine completely painless. And there's distract techniques that I used. There was the ability to numb up the gum tissue before using topical anesthetics before you even injected the persons. So,
and then they came out with the gas that they put over your face and then it kind of put you out or something.
Nitrous oxide.
And then
that was invented by a dentist. And actually, the whole field of anesthesiology was created by a dentist.
But then all the fear of that came out of it. Like, the fear of it would be like where they would say that all these people died from
Nitrous oxide?
Yeah, I mean, you saw all the articles and news reports that came out of people that would die from that, you know?
Well, not very many people die. A lot more people die from various intoxications, things that you don't even think about, like fluoride in the drinking water causing neurotoxicity over the years, or bone damage, osteoporosis, these kinds of cancers, a whole variety of many things cause cancer. You know, I can remember when I was in dental practice, I used to routinely counsel people about good nutrition. And I had one patient who came because I was also involved in periodontal surgery. I was a periodontal surgeon, and I had to counsel this person because she would show up at my office in the morning with a huge pitcher of coffee. And I asked, why do you have to bring this to the office? She says, well, yeah, I really can't get my day started before I have a dozen cups. I said, you're kidding me. I said, how many cups of coffee do you drink? She said, I drink about 40 cups by the end of the day. I said, well, that's, really not very healthy for you at all. I said, can you start to wean yourself off of it? And she told me, no, she was not capable of doing that. And I told her, I said, that's lethal. I said that there's just been recent studies that have come out that have linked caffeine consumption, certainly in those amounts, to cancer. Well, don't you know that this woman did not listen to me, she did not take my advice, and she was dead within 3 years of breast cancer. So these are the kinds of situations. A lot of people give dentists a bad rap. I think there's 15% of those guys are worth the weight in gold. They're awesome, and they're meticulous, reliable, and unfortunately, it's costly. And the great thing about Liquid Dentist is that it will prevent a vast amount. I think, if we actually had the whole U.S. public using Liquid Dentist, you would probably eliminate 70 to 80% of the dentistry that's being done today. That's what I believe that, because, again, the whole thing comes down to good nutrition. You can starve the germs that cause tooth decay. You can starve the germs that cause gum disease, relatively so, and you can certainly get rid of them by good mechanical cleaning. And then if you follow that up with Liquid Dentist, it actually reverses tooth decay, it remineralizes tooth, it oxygenates, and it can kill bacteria that's causing disease. And then ultimately you want to restore your teeth by remineralization after ozonation. That's scientifically founded. And that's what Liquid Dentist was based on, that research. And then on top of that, the wonderful thing about it is that you swallow it. You don't spit it out. And when you swallow it, you're actually giving yourself a natural nutritional immunization against more than 500 strains of bacteria in your mouth and countless more numbers of viruses. So you've got well over 1,000 different species of microbes that you're whacking with the oxygen and the silver in Liquid Dentist. You swallow it, it presents it to your Peyer's patches around the gut. It's the immune system surrounding your gut. It gets these little broken down pieces of the bacteria and the viruses, and then it prompts the immune system to create natural nutritional immunity. So, like you say, it eliminates the need for vaccinations. It eliminates the needs for expensive antibiotics. And that, with OxySilver, you have the two in your medicine cabinet, and that is really, I think, all you're going to need for flu season.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And that's what really great are these alternatives that people can check out. And then if you're not partnered with us, you can visit healthyworldaffiliates.com and partner with us today. It's a great way for you to get commissions as well as, do something great in the world and help people, turn them on to the products and also help yourself get healthy.
You know, I just want to mention too, besides healthyworldstore.com, that keeps us on the air and keeps us actually doing the work that we do. We love serving humanity and the Creator, and we're heavily involved in bringing you the best of the best news, as well as, unfortunately, the worst of the worst. But I want to thank also, besides healthyworldstore.com, I want to thank Asheville Magazine for its sponsorship for this program and bbsradio.com. Thanks, Newsom family and Seth and Engineering. We come to you every week on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific time. So thanks so much, sponsors, for keeping us on the air. And thank you out there, the customers of Healthy World Store and healthyworldaffiliates.com, for likewise doing the same.
Yes, thank you so much for everything that you're doing out there and helping us as far as all our supporters out there. We really appreciate everything. And let's talk about an amazing supporter we have that's on.
I think our best.
I think our best, and a very, very good friend, and somebody that actually can see on the same level as us. Lots of people, they don't realize what we're going through, and he really can see the situation for what it is, and better than any of the lawyers we spoke to. I mean, he just has a really clear picture about what's going on, and he knows and he trusts us completely. He knows what we've been through.
And I'm so thrilled that, you know, somebody, Justin particularly, who we're about to introduce you to here on the Inside Hour, that he's taking the time to actually read virtually every book of 17 books that I've written, and he has really appreciated them, and he's told a lot of people about them. And so it is a great privilege and an honor for me to share tonight's Insight Hour program with somebody who, beyond what I've shared, he's gone off and he's done a lot of research on his own, and he's always been there whenever Sherry and I have needed a friend, needed somebody confident to give us some perspective on some issues. Justin has always been there. So welcome to the Insight Hour, Justin.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was terrific. excellent. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here tonight because I've always wanted to do that. I've, you know, from a couple shows back, well, actually a lot of shows back, I was thinking of, you know, calling in or something, but you guys are on kind of late. You know, I'm midnight here, and you guys are, what, 6 o'clock there?
Right. So, yeah, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Massachusetts.
What part?
Well, it's you know, Northampton, where you guys had the showing of Farmer Horrors.
Oh, yeah. You know, I still have one of my cousins lives in Northampton.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, if Lenore, if you're out there listening, hi. Love you. So
Lenore?
Lenore. She's a massage therapist. Her name is Lenore. Oh. She's a real sweetheart.
Oh, okay. I know a Lenore, but I don't know if that's the same one. I don't know if she's a massage therapist or not, but anyways. okay, so I guess I should introduce myself a little bit. I haven't read all your books. I've actually only read 4 of your books. I wish I've read all your books. That'd be fantastic, and that could be a reasonable goal for me. But the books that I have, actually, I count it as 5 because I read Emerging Viruses twice. So I don't know if you know too many people who've done that, but I'm one of them. And yeah, I tell you, that's a phenomenal book, and that was the book that really sowed it for me, that I knew that you were 100% legitimate. Because after I viewed the entire DVD Death in the Air for a friend of mine, the Steve Goodale, I told him that I wasn't too sure, because you said you had a lot of good information, and the problem I had was because you were so sure about what you were saying, and I didn't know about some of the things you were saying at all. Like, I was blown away by, like, when you're saying, you know, when you're talking about the monkeys and how they engineered certain kind of viruses for these monkeys, how the AIDS virus came about. I'd never heard anything before like that in my entire life. That blew me away, and from all the other DVDs I was watching for Steve, that was the one DVD that I couldn't get my imagination, I couldn't get my mind around. It bugged me, you know. And so ultimately, I was talking to a friend of mine, Matt, how I got involved with, you know, researching conspiracies and stuff was at the Econo Lodge. He started me off. He's telling me one time that he had researched things into 9/11 and that he believed that it was an illusion. And I just kind of looked at him like, really? Well, Matt, that's quite the quite the ideas you have there. So that's what got me started into the conspiracy and got me set on my way. But anyways, yeah, so I actually read 5 books by you. The last book that I've read has been your book, The 528 Key of Love, Prosperity Key of Love. which is a phenomenal book. And I've touted it, you know, quite a few times now. And but a lot of my friends and family, they're very standoffish, and it takes me a while to make breakthroughs with them. And it's not always easy, you know. So I do what I can with the time that I have, I feel. I probably could do a lot more, but the research that I've done as far as into you to figure out what you were about, like I said, I read The Emerging Viruses. I had the argument with Steve, and Steve Goodale wasn't sure about, well, I think he was sure. I think he actually had an alternative agenda underhand. And but I told him, I said, hey, Steve, I'm willing to, you know, because this is like the third time we had a pretty long argument over the about 45 minutes. And I said, hey, Steve, I'll tell you what, I'm willing to read the book again to see if I missed anything the first time through, you know, if that would satisfy you, as long as you read the book. I'll make sure you read the book, too. I don't want to be the only one reading the book, especially since I'm going to read it for the second time, because it's not, trust me, the first time took me at least, you know, I want to say 6 months to read, honestly. You know, and I mean, I enjoyed every minute of it, too, except for, you know, all the documentations and stuff like that, that when I was reading through the second time, I didn't spend nearly as much time, you know, reading the documents and stuff like that. But the first time I wanted to make it as legitimate as possible. And I actually, towards the end of the book, I couldn't put it down. I read it to right to the very cover to cover. I read it right to the end. So phenomenal book.
Well, thanks. And so when I did that book, and like you, it was like unbelievable to me that there would be actually people that would engineer viruses for military operations, biological warfare, and population control. I mean, it was shocking. And, you know, it places you into a twilight zone. You suddenly realize, you know, your bubble's been burst, and you can't really go back to the naive life that you lived before. That's why it's so difficult for people to actually grasp this, because of the love in their hearts. They don't want to. You know, it's kind of like, you know, ignorance is bliss in some cases, but unfortunately, that's really a foolishness, because ignorance in this regard is very deadly, especially if you go out and get vaccinated and you trust medical deities that are actually the agents of this population control, population intoxication that we call pharmaceuticals. And my challenge was, when I was reading this stuff, and especially there's, I think, like two chapters, I can't remember which ones, but you'll remember, there's a couple chapters that are really dense with the real research that goes into the basics of immunology and how virology goes into this field of the mutation science, you know, the genetic engineering of biological weapons and the meticulous details of the experiments. When I started to read that stuff, I didn't read it just twice. I mean, I had to sit there. You know, it took you 6 months to read the book. It took me three solid years to write that book. And most of that time was literally spent going over and over again sentences that just didn't make sense to me, because I didn't have the background. I had to take the dictionary, the medical dictionaries out constantly, look up every single word, really kind of like get the whole understanding of the words before I could then get the context and then full meaning of what each research project was about that I was reporting on. And that, for me, was, gee whiz, it was kind of like a meditation. I went into a three-year trance. I came out with the book Emerging Viruses.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, I'm sure. Because I've never been even, like, really, you know, politically, like, interested in someone like Henry Kissinger. But after what you had to say in, you know, what he was involved with when in instructing the CIA and in the, you know, the Department of Defense and stuff into manufacturing these kind of viruses, you know, it was just, to me, I was totally engrossed in it. And I was, you know, and it's really, from that point on, like you said, you can't, once you get to the, it's like from the beginning of the book, you know, you're really, for me, I'm still, you know, trying to get my, and I should say, before I read that book, I actually read a little bit of a book, not entirely, of the guy who worked intimately with Robert Gallo. I can't think of his name right off. He's in your book. He's on page 125 in that book, where you start telling me, telling the reader about the Hegelian dialectic. He did a wonderful, really fantastic job. What was his name? I really have his name on my, but I don't. Peter Starbrook. I can't think of his last name.
Duisberg.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, Duisberg. Peter Duisberg.
Yes, Peter Duisberg. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's right. Peter Duisberg. And he worked intimately with Dr. Gallo. But all of a sudden, they kind of broke away, and he started his own thing. Well, before I read Emerging Viruses, many years before that, well, I don't should say many years before that, but a few years before that, I read some of his book about what he was saying about basically more of the drugs and stuff causing the immune suppression that would cause, you know, it was...
Blaming the victim.
Say that again?
Yeah, well, that's yes, you're right. It's the Hegelian dialectic, and it actually blames the victims of AIDS. That's a standard procedure. Like they, like the population controllers, you know, they blame us. They tell us, oh, there's too many people. They're too populated. We're overpopulated. There's a shortage of things, and so in essence, you're at fault for making babies. You know, it's like a standard thing that they do, and
right.
Unfortunately. They've done that with Peter Duisberg and AIDS, blaming people for, and again, sexual promiscuity is a challenge. IV drug use is a horrible thing. And unfortunately, people who are involved in healthcare that stick themselves with bloody needles should be careful. But that's not why we have AIDS. We have AIDS because of the biological weapons experiments and what they've done with that Hegelian dialectic. It's a psyops. Essentially, they've gotten the public to think and believe that we, the victims of these plagues, are the cause instead of basically, you know, the sad victims.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so that's, anyways, but that was one of the books that I read beforehand, and that was one reason why I kind of, you know, when I watched Death in the Air, the DVD, that would really blew me away. So, but yeah. So,
Justin, tell everybody out there, like, you know what we've been going through as far as like dealing with the COINTELPRO from an outsider's perspective, but somebody that, you know, really understands everything that's going on. Can you explain what you are seeing from your perspective?
Well, of course, like the latest with Jackie, you know, That's such a headache right there, that she's so two-faced. You know, she's basically she's involved with this gang of obviously infiltrators, which is completely in the opposite of direction of anything that Dr. Horowitz is about. And now she's actually selling on top of her your products, but is actually selling your book. You know, and at the same time, discrediting your name, you know? So it's kind of like that, and in itself is kind of a Hegelian dialectic and a psyops. But from what I've been seeing, like listening to your shows and stuff and everything that you guys have been going through, it's absolutely a horrendous nightmare, and I feel really bad for you guys to have to put up with all the shit that you guys, you know, do. It's really not necessary, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, like you said, you guys have so much that you could be providing for people right now in terms of health care and living longer, better lives. You know, so many things that you could be doing instead of having your hands tied up in this insane court matter with, like, David Icke and Alex Jones and all these infiltrators that have pretended to be your friends in the past. You know, but it's like, what else can you do? Because they're going to continue on to do what they've been doing, discrediting you, and, you know, they're going to try to get you as much as they can, you know that. So it's like you're in that impossible position. It's like you have to fight, you know. And that's, you know, I give you guys A++ for your courage and being as courageous as you are to be able to step up like that and fighting back as much as you can is unbelievable from what you guys have been put through. But yeah, the COINTELPRO agent provocateurs, I've been seeing, you know, for a while now, a long time, and they've infiltrated so many different movements, and they've done so much damage, you know, collateral damage, you know. But it's ultimately not, you know, not flesh and blood with whom we do battle, but it's psychological, you know, spiritual warfare, and that's what is really going on here, and that's why they're spending so much time discrediting the 528 hertz frequency, which is to me a huge revelation to come upon. And reading that book, it's unbelievable, and that's why they're spending so much time doing what they're doing, because they know that once people do eventually wake up to this kind of reality, that they won't want to go back to what they've been going through. You know, never in a million years would they want to go back to intoxicating themselves with garbage, which I'm, you know, I have myself in the past. That's why I could say Dr. Horowitz is really a savior for me, honestly, a savior for me to find out, you know, what he's all really all about. But, you know, this is something that when people do start to research and figure out for themselves, they won't go back, and they know that. They know this. Like, I've been falling asleep now. You know, when I can't fall asleep or if I feel stressed, if I turn on some 528 radio, if I turn on, you know, I'll do 528. Just listening to 528 music puts me in a calm state of mind, and I'll fall asleep. And you know the difference right off the bat. Because the A440, which is a lot of most of my library, unfortunately, I need to start going to your website and getting it turned, converted into 528, now that I know that that's a complete reality. Yeah, it relaxed me, put me right to sleep, and I can feel the difference. There is a difference, and I feel healthier, much healthier, you know, saner too, you know, you're more rational. So I understand now why you guys want to get this music out, because it puts people in a frame of mind where they're more reasonable, so you can actually talk with them, and you can bring them into your, you know, your realities, and give them what they need to make them feel better, and once they feel better, they're going to come back like I have, back to you again and again, because they won't want to stop, because, you know.
Let me interject something here. You're absolutely right, and I want to just add something to what motivates us about the 528 hertz frequency and the 528 love revolution, why we've put every penny we have, and even then some. And that's why we're so dependent on people to make donations on the 528 radio network. We're really in need of more server space and we really could use to pay some of our volunteers a little bit of money. They've been working hard. We've got Donna out there. She's such a sweetheart. And now Roland's got 528 Monkey Man Radio. These folks are real gems. And we're dependent on finances that the people, in their kindness of their hearts, donate. What motivates us really powerfully is realizing that without love, and without God, and without faith, and without understanding the power of bringing prayer and faithful, heartfelt, loving intention to manifesting your dreams, manifesting a future that's sustainable for our children and our children's children. And even beyond that, right here, right now, the only thing that keeps us alive is this love, is this clear channel broadcast from God's heart to your heart. It is the center of the universe. It's the rainbow. It's the center of the rainbow, like the heart. The rainbow is that greenish yellow color. It's the reason grass is green. It's like so easy to get it. Then you realize this energy or spirituality, this pure loving intention and frequency vibration from God's heart. It's like a clear channel broadcast that is this main channel or frequency of the kingdom of heaven, where there's nothing missing. There's nothing broken. It's like you say, it's peaceful, it's calming, it's not distressing or diseasing. It is pure love. And in that space, like, you know, love is said to be the universal healer. Well, it is. No dis-ease, no degeneration can exist in that powerful vibration. And that is what is the essence of the Holy Spirit. That is the essence, the love essence. It's what Jesus' ministry was all about. The big message was love God, love your brothers and sisters, and get on with producing miracles, moving mountains with a little bit of faith. That's what this is about. And the protection that we need right now from all the intoxications and all of the political manipulations and the psychological operations, all of it is totally blown out when you're in love. When you're standing righteously, standing right in the kingdom of heaven, right in love, there's nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing can get you, and you blow out, by God's grace, any dissonance, any virus, any germ, any disease, any cancer, it blows it out. That is why we're being targeted. We're so certain, because we've got the evidence, and we published it, like you say, in the book of 528, Prosperity Key of Love.
Yep.
It's the simplest understanding that is paradigm shattering. You can no longer rely on medicine or drugs or medical deities or COINTELPRO for psychological operations. It blows it all out. And it puts you into this place where, like you say, it's like, wow, happiness, because joy is part of your heart. It's in your heart. That's where the love is, in your heart. That's where bravery is, in your heart. There's no fear in bravery. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there could be, like Psalm 91, 1,000 dying at your left, 1,000 dying at your right, but you're in love, you're in that cocoon of the Creator's blessing, and you can walk through any demonic kingdom. You can walk into, you know, gee whiz, you know, like Daniel into the lion's den. You know, you walk right into Johns Hopkins Medical Center where the beast is operating, and you can tell the truth that shall set you free and without fear. And that is not only the truth that shall set you free, but it's also healing. Because the truth that sets you free is that same energy, is that same vibration. The truth is love. The truth is that we are brothers and sisters of a Holy Spirit-filled divine family, an extended family of love, and that can move mountains. That faith in the Creator and the blessing of love, the power of the words of prayer, music, literally, that's part of that is the fact that you're singing through your lips, your labia, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, the lips that create the miracles manifested through prayer, the love in your heart for having a better world. That's what we're doing, and that's why we're so thankful for you to have really engaged yourself in it and others like you who appreciate this work. And this, it's frankly, you know, I'm happy to have been honored with the task of going up against the world's most demonic power brokers. And that's what I look at this litigation as being a blessing, because otherwise I would have gone crazy, and I think Sherry would have gone crazy. We've got to look at every challenge as a great opportunity, and we've got to use wisdom to discern what's the lesson here for us. And been forced to, and I resisted for quite some time, but I finally got to the point where I can study law, I can integrate the practice in my own defense as pro se litigant, and had to come to the understanding of peace with that. I had to make peace with my role and my challenge. And the best way that I share how to do that is take a look at the artists that go down to the beach at low tide and build magnificent sandcastles. And in the process of doing that, they're fully engaged in the creative love of their work, and they produce a masterpiece that in a few hours and in a few seconds is literally destroyed. And they go home happy. and they get up maybe the next week and they do it again. And that's the kind of attitude that I have tried to counsel myself to maintain my own sanity and to give up the fact that, gee whiz, you know, I would prefer to be making films and I would prefer to be doing the journalism work that we're used to doing far more regularly. But you know, I think what's coming out of this is I can see it already, Justin. I can see at the end of this tunnel and this great challenge of fighting COINTELPRO in the courts. I can see that what's coming out of this is that we're going to annihilate them.
I think in the long run they'll lose, especially because they're hanging themselves big time.
Yes.
Like Alex Jones, he's perjuring themselves, and then they're trying to buy. I think what they're ultimately trying to do is buy as much time as they can, because they know that you guys have got them dead to rights, you know, and that they're hoping that maybe at some point there'll be like a break from arrest, or you guys will give up soon. But that's not going to happen. I know that you guys aren't going to let that happen.
No,
but maybe I'm trying to think of what they'd be thinking, you know, like David, you know, like David Icke, maybe, or whatever, that they're going to try to pull out or do what, because really, what else are they going to do when they're faced in front of the judge and a jury? You know, they're going to have to perjure. They're going to have to figure out ways, to, you know, lies to try to get out of what they've said, but you guys have it documented. You know, there's no question about it.
And
you know,
the power is in, say, litigation. The power is given away when you hire an attorney, because an attorney does not really have a full grasp of your case as much as you do. And so if you really study the law, it's very freeing. And what I love most about it is to bring the understanding that everything is based on law. You've got God's law, which is mathematics. You've got at the heart of 9 core creative frequencies that create the musical mathematical matrix of creation, wherein nothing is broken, nothing's missing, 1 and 1 is always 2. And the reality is that man's law, which is based on words, which are sounds, which are frequencies, which is simple math, and so each and every word in law means something very uniquely and importantly, and that if you understand that man's law has got to reflect God's law, otherwise it's unjust or sinful in the world of religion. And the reality is, when you bring out the material evidence and the facts to any reasonable person, a judge or a jury, you can understand that they can't rule against the truth.
But there are corrupt judges.
Oh, well, there's hideously corrupt judges.
And that's the problem. But, I mean, we know that there's a conspiracy.
We're not going to put up with it. We're going to do our absolute best to go up with the truth.
And even if we lose this, you know, case, whatever, with this particular court, we will appeal it. We will keep appealing it, and we will then bring it to we the people, and we will keep on bringing it out there to the people, and they're going to realize, the bad guys, that they mess with the wrong people. I mean I hope they realized it by now, but just in case they didn't realize
right.
No, they have a lot of pride, and they also feel like they're above the law, because counterintelligence, these are guys that have worked under FBI agent Ted Gunderson. And basically, they believe that they can do carte blanche. They can have carte blanche with all they do against us.
Sherry came up with some great revelations recently about the Church of Satan and the influence over American politics.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was looking at the news where it talked about the CNN news commentator. Her name is Candy Crowley, right? And if you look at her, I mean, I've never had a good feeling about her, and I've always sensed that there was something that was innately evil about her. I watched her during Barack Obama's election. I saw how biased she was, and I mean, they all really are, but there was something about her, and she seemed familiar to me. And I put in a photograph on the internet of her and Aleister Crowley, and believe it or not, they look like, I mean, she looks like him with a wig on.
No, who's the guy she looks like again?
Alex.
Well, tell folks who Aleister Crowley is.
Aleister Crowley is actually the, well, if you can say that Anton LaVey is the founder of the Church of Satan, Aleister Crowley was his mentor.
Okay.
He's
okay,
virtually,
that was, he's the founder of the Church of Satan?
Yeah, right.
And
he's
all
the one
the
that came up with
occult science is the demon that's good.
He's the one that came out with "Do what thou wilt."
Okay.
Meaning, okay.
Oh, I see.
You know, and this is where now people who practice that theology, then they become pedophiles and that's okay. They become serial killers and that's okay. They become genocidalists and street bankers who can kill anybody and do whatever they want. And it's all okay. You don't have laws. And again, it's a lawless state.
Yeah.
And another thing is,
the criminals are free.
Another thing is that what's very, very interesting is that, you know, if you do some research, right, you can also find out that, and there's some people that say it out there, they say that Barbara Bush's mother, her last name was Pierce, she actually had a friend she went to go visit who was actually a couple who were living with Aleister Crowley. And when Miss Pierce returned, she was pregnant from this trip. She left her husband, Marvin, went on a trip. She was pregnant, and the baby she had was Barbara Bush. And there's some people that say that Barbara Bush, actually her real father, was Aleister Crowley. I mean, I don't know. I can't.
Okay, right. Very interesting. That would be pretty insane. But well, actually, it wouldn't be that insane, come to think of it. Might be actually more down-to-earth than we think.
Yeah. That would make a lot. I mean, the total amount of sense that's where the Church of Satan really is, and you know, and why it's heavily involved with people that are running the country. You know.
Yeah, because the Bushes have been involved with helping Adolf Hitler, Prescott Bush, and I think George Bush is big time behind. I think George Bush was behind. I don't know if you guys have ever researched the JFK Jr. thing. That's why it was kind of interesting when I found out that Dr. Truenot, I prefer to call him Truenot, but Truot had a document to give to JFK Jr. Is that right?
It's called the file, I believe, number 5. And
It's such a stupid story because if you had that, why wouldn't you make a copy of it? Why would you give it away?
Absolutely right. Yeah, that's the thing that you're right. Exactly. Yeah, totally. You would absolutely make a copy. You'd make dozens of copies of that. Sure. All right. He said he lost it, or before he could give it to him, or something like that. Or
he gave a copy to the Kennedy's editor, I think it was, or one of the managing editors for George Magazine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's he's also known to be a liar.
And for those of you who have not visited waronthepeople.com, there's an article that we actually have not sent out the newsletter yet. We've been so busy. Sign up for the newsletter at healthyworldstore.com, folks. Healthyworldstore.com has a sign-up form for our newsletters. And we do try to get them out every few weeks. But we've been really swamped. But there's a great article that we're going to link to on the waronthepeople.com, and it's called Damage Control. And it deals with what Justin has brought up. The Dr. Truenot has advanced a publicity with National Examiner, it's called the Inquirer, one National Examiner now, and we do is we expose the damage control aspects and who actually runs the tabloids. You'll be fascinated to see. It's some of the most powerful movers and shakers in the Republican Party, and that the Republicans have a desire to reach the masses, the dumbed-down masses that are actually attracted to read the tabloids. And, of course, it's to make a second or third grade level of education you need to read that stuff. But the heroes for the last few months, one has been Alex Jones, who suddenly elevated into a, quote, conservative commentator. And then, like you said, in the whole cover story of the National Examiner a few weeks ago, had this whole expose on this document, the gemstone file number 5, was put out by a, quote, Utah businessman, end quote. That's what they call Dr. Trunot. Suddenly he went from the guru in the Patriot movement and the Christian movement, the age healing movement, into a, quote, Utah businessman. So this is an interesting article, war on weeple.com, we posted a couple weeks ago, and we will get it in the news as soon as we're able to get that out.
Exactly. So, again, just want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us and just being here, you know. We don't have family there to support us, and we look at you as our family, and we know that there's very few people out there that see this picture, and if they do, even if they do, they're afraid to acknowledge it. They would rather tell us that we shouldn't, you know, pay attention to it, and we should do other things when we go. And like, for instance, I get emails all the time from people who try to send me links to Alex Jones reports and David Icke reports, and I get upset at them.
I know, I get a kick out of those too. It is really how far some of them go. That, you know, it's almost like, really, you guys, you can't, you, like Dr. Horst says, you can't just pick up a mouse and click on this link, and, you know, it's prejudiced and it's biased. It's obvious, you know, at that point when you're thinking that they're blocking out this, you know, important information that you guys have, that they're not taking the time, and it's really sad, but on some other levels, you've got to think that it might be also intentional too. Some of it is intentional. You know.
Yeah, I think so. But, that we're in the right place at the right time, and you know, I've considered myself the king of impatience, and it's a value to be able to realize over and over again that I'm not on my time; I'm on Creator's time, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I do get very, very frequently, and she does too, signs that, you know, we're still in the, we're in the simplicity, we're in the clear channel broadcast of love that the Creator's blessing us with, and everything that's happening is really a blessing in disguise. If we don't realize it completely immediately, you know, it will show itself to be that.
Yep, definitely. And so, you know, we look at everything happening for a reason. We're doing God's work, and you were put on this path, and you know, we're not given anything more than we can handle, even though it does feel like a rough road sometimes.
Hey, I just had a question. I don't know how much time you guys have. We're probably getting down there right now, huh? I don't know if you'd be interested in, say it again.
Yeah, you got plenty of time. You got 10 minutes.
Oh yeah, okay, that's good. So just for the ending of the show, or my last thing, where I was, I wanted to bring in a little bit of 9/11. Through the past, I've put a lot of your research in combination with their research, because ultimately that's what I think you need to do if you want to see the bigger picture, because you showed the bigger picture. I don't know if you've realized exactly how much of a bigger picture you've shown. I know you've done a lot, I mean, but to me, it's, you know, amazing how these things do come together. But anyways, so in your DVD, and plus that in your book Death in the Air, where you talk about space-based weapons, okay? And I know in the movie Farmer Horrors, you guys were talk about how the buildings came down by explosions, and I do believe that explosions were definitely in the buildings and that they went off. However, I think that the majority of the evidence, from my point of view, from what I've researched and from what I found, points towards some other kind of weapon also being used, particularly when we're talking about like the two twin towers, like in New York, where you have those two buildings and you see how they're kind of curving. You know what I mean?
Well,
you know what I mean.
I've heard that thesis before, and I haven't dismissed it. I just haven't really studied it in depth. It does not seem to be far-fetched, because if you understand the power of lasers and how it can really just, I mean, ruin your eye, it'll fry your neurons. And the reality is that the military has been advancing laser weaponry for decades. And the capacity that they have with the satellite space-based lasers, it's, in my opinion, it's far deadlier and riskier than nuclear weapons in terms of if you're really intending to control populations. That is what Star Wars weaponry and, quote, defense system is. It's just like when they say defense, it's not defense, it's offense. It's like when defending against diseases for vaccinations, you know, they have to first start with the disease, and they create the disease in the lab before they create the vaccine in the lab. And so this is the same thing, and I think that there's a good possibility that there were other types of weapons used, and what we're told via mainstream, and like we've been talking about, even 9/11 Truth Movement has been infiltrated. Every single movement was infiltrated.
That's what I'm getting at is I just real quick is like, you know how when you're talking about the AIDS virus and like with that unique enzyme, it's called reverse transcriptase. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it causes life to, you know, work in reverse, right?
Right.
And you say, like, what in God's whole universe causes life to work in reverse? Something definitely extremely satanic, you know? Well, I kind of got a similar concept is that when you're looking at the ground, you know, they show aerial shots, and a lot of these 9/11 researchers, they don't throw that out there. That's one thing to kind of, you know, I don't throw out the nuts and bolts, like, of what went on for those, all the pictures. And although I like Judy Wood, I think it's possible. My problem is Judy Wood is, I think, like, kind of like Dr. Robert Gallo and Peter Duesberg, I think that she is serving as a Hegelian dialectic, but she's giving the other side of the story. You know what I mean? So I think that they had a weapon, like kind of like with the Wall of Jericho, where they walked around the wall for 6 days and they were blowing their trumpets, you know?
Right.
And then the people cheered at the last day, the seventh day, and the walls came down. Well, I think maybe it's possible they also used the weapon, because there's a picture, when they're moving, where they're filming it, the building, one of the columns you see standing up, unless this film was fake or whatever. The only other explanation, if it is real, explosives can't account for this. And there's, I've got a lot more, but so this, you see the beam actually turn into dust, you know, right before your eyes as you're watching, you know. So that's something to consider. And also the pictures show these holes in the ground, these black holes in the ground, kind of similar to the Oklahoma City bombing. And I know the Bush administration, I don't know if it was, I guess it was after 9/11, spent like, what, $248 billion on space-based weapons. That's a huge amount. So I was thinking like the Department of Defense, when they wanted the $10 million appropriations to start researching these kind of viruses, like the AIDS virus, I got a similar idea as what maybe the Bush, they saw how this weapon worked on September 11th. And there's also a storm off the coast of New York that day that doesn't get mentioned a lot, that makes Hurricane Katrina kind of pale in comparison. It was a really massive hurricane that was going about, you know, that path, that general path. And I don't know, maybe if they also created that somehow and it maybe drew some of the steam out. But anyway, so, yeah, see, when you look down onto these, into the ground, you'll see these black holes, and it's similar when you look into, and when they're showing photos of the ground of the Oklahoma City bombing, you see a similar type of hole, you know, weird kind of cutout, but it's very surgical almost. And the other thing is, you know, both the buildings were like 500,000 ton, you know, of structural steel, both inside and out, you know, filled to the brim with deaths, and we're assuming, unless they took them out. and I don't know, it was like 3,000 people that died in the buildings on that day. Not a body recovered, you know what I mean? No plane parts, nothing. So really, because when they hit the ground, the Richter scale that they measure, you know, earthquakes and stuff with, showed little more than a tickle. And that just doesn't make any sense because these buildings were massive, you know? So you have to, that is kind of, that's really part of the problem, or at least from what Judy Wood has had to say. So anyways.
You know, the problem also is that what is the effect of military-grade thermite? And because they had tons of thermite and thermite dust all around the area, that so hot when it goes off, it literally puts metal columns to dust. And that's brought also clearly the buildings down, according to many, many scientists. So it's a good question, and there's no question in my mind that it was an inside job, was brought down. And, you know, in Farmer Horse, I think it was a blessing. It was divine revelation. We ended up in Las Vegas and then saw the connections between Apollo Management and GM Grand, the construction of City Center, Veer Tower, which is a virtual monument to the World Trade Center towers, the Veer Tower falling down into rubble. That's what it looks like in Las Vegas City Center. And the connection to the money, you follow the money yep. takes you through the equity investment organization called Apollo Management, which is intimately connected to Blackstone and to the
George Soros
and to Larry Silverstein. Who owned the buildings and took out the insurance policy just before they came down. Well, what did he do with all that insurance money? They built the towers with it. And so this is a very important revelation that, again, it's like you say, it's another evidence, obvious evidence, that there's suppression of the greatest truths that could set us free. That worked brilliant. That literally, it was blessed. It was divinely guided. I couldn't believe that we came out with it. We had it revealed to us by synchronicity. And that in Farmer Horse, sometimes Sting of Teller, nobody, even in the alternative media, has touched.
Well, it's the Partnership for New York City, and anybody can go on that site and see the connection between Big Pharma, and the banksters, and also the mainstream media. And people are, you know, in the journalists are the alternative movement. They refuse to cover it. They don't want to go there. It's because so many of them would sell out in a minute. They just want fame. And even though they're here, you know, thinking, oh, they have a niche in the alternative world, they're really not doing things in their heart. They're looking for a window to fame. People want money. They want fame. It's unfortunate that we can't get people to expose the mainstream media as much, because of the fact they want to be hired by them. they want to be on Oprah's show, and they want to be on, you know, Good Morning
America.
Good Morning America. I mean, they want to be on these television shows, and just for that reason alone, they aren't going to go there. They're not going to admit it usually, but when it comes right down to it, it's what they're looking for.
Well, we've got. Justin, thank you so much for joining us on the Inside Hour. God bless you. Keep up the great work you're doing. Thanks for your support.
Thank you, Justin.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been a real blast and a real blessing. And, yeah, this is awesome. Maybe I can join you guys again sometime. This is excellent.
Love to hear from you.
Okay.
That brings us to the end. We're actually, it went by really fast. I thought it would.
It
went by very fast. Join us again next week, same time, 9 o'clock Pacific, midnight on the East Coast, Tuesday nights on bbsradio.com. Please register for getting our newsletters at healthyworldstore.com and order your health products there. It keeps us on the air. We thank you so much. Check out 528radio.com to be blessed by the music that's playing. There's a selection, various selections now. We've got 7 channels that are up and running. We're still developing them. We need more support financially to get more server space. So please make your donations. And Sherry, anything else?
Definitely want to tell you to go check into 528radio.com, listen to it, 528records.com, because I know we didn't mention that in the beginning of the show, but you, thank God you mentioned it now, because so many people out there need to be blessed by listening to it. We have a new radio channel, a new station called Monkey Man Radio.
528 Monkey Man.
Exactly. So check that out. It's constantly getting more songs added to it, and we have Roland, our new DJ, on there, and he's really working hard to get that music out to you guys, because he's got great taste in music. So
he does. Okay, so thanks so much. Be blessed. We'll talk with you next week. I'm Dr. Len Horowitz.
And I'm Sherry Kane.
Good night.
Good night.